As we read tonight, I'm going to ask you to remain seated because we're just going to kind of read and stop here and there at a couple spots and make some comments and read on. I want to speak to you tonight and help you to see that God has for you and for me divine appointments. God brings people across our path. Sometimes we're not expecting it, but when we're looking for people for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is amazing what He does. I find that things that seem to happen by accident are not accidents, but God has a way of bringing people across our path. We might be seeking it on purpose, or we may not. This last week, I received an email. It was from Facebook. How many are familiar with Facebook? All right. Some of you are familiar. How many are not familiar with Facebook? I mean, just be honest. You have no idea. You could care less. I'm kind of in the last category of caring less, but it has its place. On a computer in the world out there. Anyway, it's a tool. It can be used wisely, or it can be a gossip machine, which I fear is what it is for the most part, whether it be young people or old people. But it can be an amazing tool. Anyway, I received a message, and the message said that Kirk Hall had tagged a photo of me on Rocky Blue's page. I thought, okay, Kirk Hall, why is he tagging a photo of me? And it had involved, it had also the tag that was put on it. I later went and I saw the photo that he tagged. He should have put, "Oh my goodness." Did he really look like that? It was a picture. I showed it to Jeff. It was a picture of myself and Jeff when he was probably about one and a half, maybe 2 years of age. Back when he was a cute kid. And I was in style. I had on black plastic rim glasses. They're in style again. If I still had those, you would say, "Oh, those are cool." A few years ago, you would have said, "You wore those?" Anyways, I read what he said. Kirk Hall said, that was about the same time, the picture was taken about the same time, he knocked on my door and invited me to ride the Sunday school bus to church. And I'm so glad that he did, and that my mom and dad made me do so. Forty years ago, I knocked on their door. I could take you to the very block, yet to this day, I think maybe the house where the Halls lived. In the weeks that followed, they became somewhat of a special project to me. And here's what I did on my bus route. Every week I went to every rider on my bus route. Every Saturday I would go to every rider on the bus route. I would knock on the door. I carried candy in my pockets. Bribery. But I would just see if they were going to be riding the bus. It gave me a contact with the parent. Normally I'd get to see one of them every week. In the process of those visits, I also, a couple of evening times, went back to their house and talked to them about the Lord. 4 weeks before we left Seattle, Mr. Hall called me on the phone. And he said, "Would you come over? What you've talked to us about being saved, I want to get saved tonight." I did not go. I called Brother Blue and I said, "King, you know, I'm leaving in a month. These folks want to get saved." Hardest thing I'd done in my life, I think, to that point. because I wanted to go so bad. I said, would you go over? They want to get saved. And I thought it would be good if he could lead them to Christ. In the year that followed, those folks are instrumental in reaching 10 to 15 other families. I mentioned our Sunday school teachers more. One of those was a man that had been a former NFL player. His wife was a full-fledged witch. They were involved in witchcraft, and they gloriously got saved. They became, Jerry Lindquist was his name. I never really knew him. I've met him in years that followed. They became instrumental in reaching many people for Christ. Everybody in the country was scared she'd put a hex on them if they didn't go to church. And I have no idea if that's true, but nonetheless, they were instrumental. God blessed. And I remembered all that, these two little boys. It was a divine appointment that God allowed me to have. I sat in my office, I read that, and I wondered, how many times have I missed the appointments that God has? How many times has something come across or something that I could have done that would have set it up and I missed it? Almost everybody was gone today. Some of you who were still here very late after most were gone, there was a young lady that came walking in our church. She wanted to use the restroom. She said our car ran out of gas. It had right out in front of church. She had to go to the bathroom really bad. I said, go on in. It's right there. She came out. She was very polite, and she said, thank you. And she walked down the ramp and walked out the driveway. I went over to my office a little later. And it was actually in front of the house next door, and I looked over, and I saw him out there. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what they were going to do. I figured they must be going to go down to the gas station, but as long as they were fiddling around, I thought there must be another problem. I think by now everybody had left. I was walking back across, and both of them came walking around the corner. They walked up to me, and they did not ask for anything other than they said, how can we, is there a way that we can get across to Omaha? Is there a walk bridge? I said, yes, there is. And he said to me, he said, we've run out of gas, and he had a computer in one of those little strap, case. And he said, I'm going to see. He says, I checked on the internet. He says, I was able to get it right out here. He probably got it off of ours. I don't know. Probably not. We have a code. And he said, I found out that Saul's in Omaha is open on Sundays. And I'm going to see if they'll give me enough money for gas for my computer that we can get back home in Harlan. And they'd not counted their monies right. They didn't realize. Anyways, nonetheless. And I said, just a second. And they were sitting on the porch. And I went home, opened the garage, because I knew in the garage I have 3 5-gallon cans. I had no idea if there was gas in them. One of them was full. I hollered him. I said, come over here. And he came over. I said, take this can. I said, you get very good mileage out of your car. He says, well, it's pretty decent. I said, there's 5 gallons of gas in here. Will that get you home? He says, yeah, it will. And he took the gas and went out. I went and ate. I was a little bit late for dinner. And when they came back way, I was about finished, but not quite. And I walked out, and I didn't have a track in my coat. It was empty. And I walked my car because I have some there, and I gave him a track and talked to him about the Lord. I said, do you know Dave Stafford? Some of you might remember Dave. Came here for quite a lengthy period of time, lives in Harlan, runs a has a transmission shop. And I hope I gave him the right church. Where's Jerry at? Is that Grace Baptist Church? Or Mr. Nelson? Is that is it Grace Baptist Church in Harlan? Good, I got the right name. And I said, I'd like for you to consider going. He said, you know, we've been thinking about it. Got to talk and found out she was from Seattle. And so we had a little chat and been able to talk to them. I walked in the house and I thought, God just gave a divine appointment. God leads us to people. And I sat there and I thought, how many have I missed? How many have I pass by. God has them. I want us to read about one here tonight. As we look here in chapter 24, we find the story of Abraham and his steward. By the way, God has made us stewards. God has given us a tremendous responsibility. That's to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus. He has given us a commission. And here we find that Abraham, who is in this story a picture of God the Father, has given a commission to his steward. His commission is to go find a bride for his son. That's interesting because we find that there is a bride being formed right now for the Son of God. We're a part of that bride, but we're also stewards. And as stewards, we have been given a commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Well, let's pick up this story and we're going to stop in just a few places. It says, "Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." That's an unusual picture we're seeing here. But it's like you and I raising our right hand. It's like us saying, "Hey, I swear to do this. Put your hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." So here we find a picture of God the Father given to His steward a responsibility. He's saying, "I do not want you to go to the Canaanites among whom I dwell. I've got a particular place I want you to go." By the way, God has given us a particular place to go. It's a little larger than what He gave to His servant, but yet it's not. For God has said to you and I, "Go into all the world." And so we have a responsibility to reach the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we cannot be in all the world. So God has a particular location for each of us. I received a newsletter this week from a missionary that has been in our church. We do not support him down in Peru. He was talking about some of the trips he has made back into the jungle areas and how this summer he hopes to go meet a tribe that no gospel witness has ever been to before. One that is feared, one that has made the news recently that hardly anybody has ever even seen. That's hard to imagine still in our world. There are peoples like that. And yet he believes God wants him and a fellow missionary to make a trek to these people to give them the gospel. And so God has for us the world, but God has to us specific areas, particular spots in which he wants us to be. For most of us, we are right where we're supposed to be. We are in our home locality. We are to take the gospel to those who are round about us. And so he says, "I want you to swear to me you're going to do this. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest?" Abraham said to him, "Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again." I used to read that and I wonder why, if this man was unsuccessful, would Abraham not want to ever see his son again? But that's not what it says. You know, we need to read the Word of God closely and need to understand what words mean. He said, "Bring not my son thither." What was the question? If they will not come willingly, should I take your son into that land from which you came? In other words, Abraham, should I take him back to the Ur of the Chaldees? And he says, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither." There are two words that are used. One is "hither," meaning here. The other is "thither," meaning there. One meaning right here, the other meaning over there. No, no, that's not your objective. You see, what we're finding here is God has for you and I responsibility. The Son has already done His job. It is now our responsibility to go. If they will not come to Him, we can't take the Son and make it any different. For the word that we take and the faith that we offer to them must be exercised. And so He gives us a tremendous truth here. Notice verse number 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send His angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So here is the Father saying, there is that which is going to lead you, my angel. May I say to you tonight that if we are aware the Spirit of God seeks to lead us to those people to whom we are to give the precious Word of God. Notice verse 8. If the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither, to there, not to there again. Okay? And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram his master and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed for all the goods of his master in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. He gave him a great responsibility. He said, I want you to go to another land. I want you to seek out a bride for my son. But I want you to notice in verse number 10, there is something that this Father and something that God, our Father, does for us, and that is He will provide that which is needed for the job to be done. In other words, He will enable us. He will give us the tools that we need. He will give us the abilities that we must have. And so he departs and heads to Mesopotamia. Notice verse number 11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now he knows where he's supposed to go. He understands this. He's been instructed by the Father. He has reached his destination. And now he is somewhat on his own. But yet he is not. I want you to notice the next two verses. And if anything gets through to you tonight, I hope these do. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. What did he do? He's been given instruction. He has a commission. He is to go find a wife or a bride for his master's son. You and I have been given a commission. We are to seek out a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to try to reach people for Jesus. That's the responsibility that's been placed upon our shoulders tonight. We have been given the tools that we need. Maybe not what we always want, but certainly the ones that we need. And now we find that this servant does something. He's had the instructions. He's at the place. But he prays. He prays. Now he is seeking God to do some specific things. And notice who he prays for. He prays for the woman that he's about to come into contact with. He's praying, one, that he might be able to recognize her. And he's praying also that she would be willing to follow. And the way he's praying that is by asking God to make her a willing servant to him. One who is willing to dedicate their all at that moment to Him. Interesting. But he prays. A church and Christians who are in the work of God must seek the leadership of God. Amen. We must, not only individually, but I somehow believe that those who were with this servant were praying with him. I use the term sometimes corporate prayer, simply meaning several people gathering together for prayer. And my, what a blessing this is when we can gather together and seek the Lord one with another. Tonight I heard one say, boy, this has been so encouraging to hear somebody else pray and ask God to give directions. And it is. It's encouraging to know that others are seeking the same God and have the same desires. But it's also encouraging to know that others are praying along with us. One of the things I've discovered in corporate prayer times is, as one is praying, I'm thinking to myself the very same thoughts. And I'm entering into prayer with them. And sometimes there might be little groans that come from within. There might be the little amens. There might be, yes. Sometimes they're very audible. Sometimes they're not. But we enter one with another into that time of prayer. He's asking God for specific instructions, for guidance into the life of this person. And notice what happens. And it came to pass. See that verse 15? Before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now, to give you an idea that when you ask for something, it's exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Notice the next part. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. What happened? He had prayed that God would show him, and it was very evident, and he runs to meet her. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Oh, my goodness. Go back to verse 14. He's praying, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, let down thy pitcher, I pray that I may drink, and she shall drink, say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. He said, I'm needing direction. I need to know that this is the one that you want me to see. Here is a divine appointment. God has brought across his path one specifically prepared for a job to take place. And now it has happened. Verse number 20, it says, she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. I can just imagine he's standing there shaking his head. He can't believe. How many have had their prayers answered and wondered, wow, is this really happening? And sometimes we don't even recognize it is happening until later. It came to pass as camels had done drinking, verse 22, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Boy, this guy is really stepping out, isn't he? And she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor." She said moreover to him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Here is the problem, and here is the reason that we are often not in the place of divine appointment, because we are not in the way. We're not where we ought to be. "But he being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told him of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet her unto the man under the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, 'Thus spake this man unto me,' or the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels.'" Is God preparing the way? Wow. I was in Bible college, and I remember a professor telling us about a school in England. Back in the 1800s, the young men who would go to this particular Bible college, it would come time in the spring that they would begin to teach them, "What we want you to do is go two by two and go throughout the villages in throughout the countryside of England." They gave them particular instructions, said, "What you're going to do is you're going to leave here with the clothes upon your back. You're not going to have any money in your pocket. And all you're going to have is just enough to get you by from one day to the next. I mean, today and tomorrow, you're going to have to find God's provision." Those young men would walk from that school, for they had no other transportation, and begin to go across the countryside. And as they went, they began to pray, "God, open the doors. We need a place to stay. We need food for our belly. We need a place to hold meetings, that we might talk to these people about the Lord Jesus Christ." And throughout that summer, God would open doors and homes. And I thought to myself, I hope they don't think about doing that here. But oh, what a wonderful spot to be in. To let God lead and direct. That's what He wants to do. Amen. And so now He has led him into this home. Notice in verse number 32, "And the man came to his house, and he ungirded his camels, gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set before, or meat before him to eat, but he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine errand.' And he said, 'Speak on.'" Though now his needs are being provided for, he says, "I've got something that's more important than food for my belly. I've got a message that I must deliver. And so before we eat, I need to tell you what I have came to tell you." And they said, "Speak on." And notice his speech. In verse 34, "And he said, 'I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he's become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and manservants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And to him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son.' And I said unto my master, 'Peradventure the woman will not follow me.'" I want you to notice what's taking place here. This servant is doing what you and I are supposed to do, the people we come into contact with. He is telling them what his master taught him. You and I have one responsibility, that's to teach him what this Word has to say. That's our responsibility. And so he's telling him what his master has told him. Verse number 47, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house, and thou shalt be clear from this by my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. He said, I'm come here to tell you a message, but if you will not listen and you will not heed it, then I've done what I'm supposed to do. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she saith unto me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abram's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. By the way, when you tell somebody about Jesus and they say yes, there isn't a greater thrill in the world. It'll bring you to the spot of worship. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her mother and her brother, and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose in the morning. He said, send me away with thy master, unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. And after that she shall go. Now think about that for a moment. Everything's been going along just fine. Now all of a sudden somebody shows up and we've said, yes, you can take her. And he says, I want to go now. I can imagine I would be thinking the same thing. Well, let's just have a long goodbye. Let's think about this a little bit. And we might just say goodbyes and have these last moments together. He said to them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. You see, when we make a commitment to Christ, it's not for later. It's all right now. And they said, we will call the damsel and quiet her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said to her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Tremendous prophecy there. God gave a blessed appointment. The master said, I want you to find a wife. God says to you and I, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Carry the message. I've appointed you a certain place to go. Paul Sudbrock, I want you to go to East Germany. Paul Sudbrock said, I will go. His daddy said, who pastored for many years in Newton, Iowa, but Paul, the Iron Curtain is up. They don't allow Americans into East Germany. Paul said, "Dad, God has called me. He will make a way." He began to prepare. He was in Bible college. And one day, excited, he saw on television, you've seen the pictures if you're aged at all, they were tearing down the wall. He got on the phone and excitedly called home and he said, "Dad, have you looked at the news?" He said, "I'm going to East Germany. The wall is coming down." He got there. He was not received well at all. For several years, he was tormented by the people. They didn't like this foreigner on their soil. In the hometown where Martin Luther had ministered many years before, in the city of Wittenberg, East Germany. But he stayed. "Why, God," said, "I want you to go to Wittenberg. Going all the world, but Paul wants you to go this part of the world." And little by little, God has opened doors. They've been able to do things that 20 years ago no American would even dare dream of. And that story can be told over and over, but not only there, but here in our own land. God has people for us to reach. "Lord, open the door. Show them to me. Let me not be blind to their needs. Don't let me walk past them." We live in an area of some 700,000 to 800,000 people. We can go sit in a Walmart parking lot and watch people walk in, not in ones and twos, but tens and twenties at times. We complain and sometimes make jokes about the number of South Americans who are in our country. And though we send missionaries to South America, they may be illegal. But maybe God wants us to tell them about Jesus. In that little closet back there is nearly 4,000 tracts in Spanish. I don't know what they say, but they do. I have no idea who God may bring across your path or mine tomorrow. But here's a man who was seeking and God gave him a divine appointment. What do we need to do? Listen to the commission. Ask God to direct us. It was so simple tonight, but I heard one of our men pray, "God, I just need your direction as a father and as a leader in my class." That's all it was said. And I sat in that chair right there, and I said in my heart to God, "Amen, give it to him." Let's pray them together. You see, we need not only the directions of God, but we need what? To earnestly seek Him in that direction. Some of you know this and some of you don't. In this row Wednesday night, I trust it'll be like last Wednesday night, that row right there. Be 15, 20 teenagers that you never see on Sunday morning. One was here this morning. Last year we had a class for them in Master's Club, and this year I said we'll bring them in here. Honestly, I figured whoever came It'd be one time and that'd be it. But ask God to do something different. I have no idea why they stay other than God. Last Wednesday night, there was a little girl sitting right there in that seat. She'd been somewhat disrespectful. Those of you who are here, you remember. I spoke directly at her. I said, "You're behaving exactly the way I'm talking about right here tonight." I was not. I was trying to be kind, but at the same time, very firm with her. Oh, she was the one here this morning. People have got together and they prayed for these kids. 3 weeks ago, one of the young ladies stood up and she says, I was just asking for questions. She asked me a question, all right. It had to do with her personal home life and her relationship with her mother. And her basic question was, should I be mad at God for this? Or mad at my mother? The adults that were sitting here, some of you were in here, touched their hearts greatly. Some of their prayers have changed. Now praying with me very vehemently, God, touch those hearts. See, we need that together. Amen. These little ones we saw up here on the platform this morning, I love seeing them sing their hearts out. By the way, I am amazed. You've known sign language for a long time. I never saw it as a teaching tool. Lori's done it. You've done it. Some others are doing it. Actually teaching them to learn songs and learn verses by teaching them sign language with it. Well, I couldn't see them. Were the kids signing too? Pulpit was there. I could see their backs. Those kids not only need the prayers of those three workers, but also as all of us join together and pray for them. They need that. I've been using the age of three, but it doesn't matter. Even the kids who are in the cradle need our prayers. Amen. And so, here, what did he do? He prayed. God led him as a result of those prayers. He had the directions, the general idea, and he gets to the spot. But there needs to be, beyond that, some very specific direction of God. And how to handle the situations. How we need that. How we need that. That's why I say, you need to be in prayer meeting. You need to be in the house of the Lord with God's people. That we might get the instruction and that we might seek God together. Because little girls like this are very important. Old girls like this are very important. Old women, I won't point, are very important. Amen. Abraham told him what to do. And he went and did it. God tells us and gives instructions where to go do it. But then we need to seek Him. Because there's a whole lot of things in a whole lot of places we've never been before. How do I do it? Well, He'll lead us.
He'll direct us. He will do it. I told you about Kirk Hall. He was just a little tyke. But in 1970, early 1971, Brother Blue came to me and he said, "I'd like for you to start a youth group." I did not take Youth Group 101 in college. They didn't even offer Youth Group 101 in college. I had no idea what to do. He said, "Let me take you across the mountain." He said, "My good friend, who's now my also was my good friend, Brother Ken Fraley. He's been in our church about 2-3 years ago. Some of you might remember Jean and her testimony about she was in East Germany." He said he was a youth director in Milford, Ohio for about 2-3 years before coming out here to Wenatchee. "I'll just take you over there and he can tell you what he did and then you can do it." We drove 120 miles over the Stevens Pass into Wenatchee, Washington. By the way, if you ever get to Washington and you don't go over Stevens Pass, you've missed out on one of the most beautiful drives of your life. Especially in the fall. And we drive over across the mountains. And by the way, if you go in the winter, better expect to take chains with you because you might find 20 to 30 feet of snow on the top. You're shaking your head because you've lived there and you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? By the way, the skies are never bluer than in Seattle. The reason is because for 364 days out of the year, they are gray. And the one day they become blue, they are very blue because they've been gray for so long. I figured that song out after I lived there a while. But I drove over the mountain and there we are in that place. And I said, "Brother Ken, what am I supposed to do as a youth group director?" He says, "Well, I don't know." He says, "I didn't take Youth Group 101 in Bible college." I said, "Oh, brother, we have driven all the way over here for you to tell me what I already knew. Nothing." And he said, "We did two things." He said, "We had a singspiration every Sunday night." I said, "What in the world is a singspiration?" He said, "Well, we got together and we sang a few songs together. We'd go to somebody's home every Sunday night and we'd have them make us some snacks and we would sing a little bit and goof around a little bit and then I'd take them home." I said, "Okay, I don't want to do that." I didn't say that out loud. I knew it inside. I didn't want to do that. And he said, "Once a month," he said, "my pastor said, I want you to do something with the young people, some outing, just do something for fun. And the rest of the time, just speak to them and preach to them and tell them just like it is." And I thought, "Oh, that part about doing something fun once a month, I can handle that." And so we began doing that. Did some of the goofiest things in my life. But we did them. Every Sunday night, we'd gather them up and we'd go to somebody's house and they'd fix us some popcorn, some pop or whatever. Sometimes it got a little more and more elaborate than that. And every now and then, I'd say to the guys, I'd say, "Listen, we've got to sing at least one song. This is a singspiration because we get to goofing off and doing stupid things." Oh, did I tell you, the hour before church started, we had another hour of class. And we go to church and afterwards we do that. Had no idea how to do it. But moment after moment, I had to seek God on how to do it. I had the general idea, and I had the directions of my pastor take care and build a youth group. We left in 1973. They threw me a big party. I was taught that whenever you do anything, do it as rough as you can with teenagers. I blackened one of the kid's eyes. It swelled shut. I figured his dad would be mad at me. He was tickled to death. He said, "My son needed that." Praise God for the moment. I figured his dad was going to shoot me. We averaged 30 boys and 5 girls. God wonderfully blessed. I don't know how. Just seeking Him. I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what I was doing. I had instruction on coming back or how to start a church. Had a few ideas and we were taught a number of different things. When I came here in 1973, I knew where God wanted me. But I didn't know some of the specifics. God, you got to show me. You got to show me. And so step by step, almost everything that I tried to do that I was told to do failed. But God directed in different things. You see, we got to seek Him and allow Him to move and to work in our lives. That's what that servant learned. Amen. God blessed. Rebecca came back home, or came to their home, I should say. God blessed her with being the mother of thousands of millions. And God used that steward. Father, tonight, help us to see ourselves in that steward. God, help us not to be so puffed up to believe that we have arrived. We're stewards. Lord, help us to understand that as stewards, we have a responsibility to You to reach a world. Help us, O God, to realize that You give us instructions, but there is so much that we do not know, that we need Your guidance day by day. Lord, we need it not only individually, we need it corporately. For we are laborers together for the cause of Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray You'll work in our hearts tonight. Lord, no doubt there's needs and lives here tonight. We've touched on many issues, but Lord, I don't know if there are areas of conviction. I don't know if there, what the need might be, but You do. Lord God, tonight, if there's a need to walk down this aisle and bow the head, to raise their voice unto You, O God, cause that to be true. But, O God, that we might seek You out in Your leadership. Bless and work in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.